I was just overwhelmed by the love of God, and it's a good for a stop. I was getting I've drunk a lot of water this morning, so I was kind of out there to get rid of some. And I couldn't even do anything. My ears were still filling up just because I'm just overwhelmed by what the Lord has done for us. And last night, I kind of fell into this. It was by mistake, really. I was just trying to be nice to Kevin. I was just joking, I think. Kevin took me a wheel last night, and we're on Phil and Ruth's, and the Quines were, "Oh, Kevin, you'll be all right. Don't worry about the meeting tomorrow's morning. Somebody will speak." And I said, "Aye, Kevin, don't worry about it. If you need somebody to speak, I'll just speak for a wee filey." And I went away home, got to Burns in bed. 10 minutes later, he phoned Paul, and then Kevin's on the phone. "Was you being serious?" And I couldn't have said no. So that's why I'm here. But I really believe after that, I spent a lot of time. I was up till about 12:30, 1, just to get the last bit sorted. But I really believe I've got a word for not just a few in here, but for every situation you are in this morning, I believe there's something in this for you. And it started back in, this morning the title's called "Jesus, a Baby Born with a Purpose." As Kevin says, it's Christmas time, it's the first Sunday before Christmas, so I was going to speak on Christmas, so you could maybe start there, so couldn't I disagree with him. So I titled it, and there was nothing else. Kevin says to me, he was just telling me what he was going to speak on, and I've spoken something different, but still connected to the Christmas message. But it started a couple of weeks ago. Kenny Brandy messaged me on a Friday night. And for those that I ken, they've got a recovery church that a lot of drug addicts come into, and every second Saturday night. And they didn't have anybody to lead worship that night. I had consistent him, "Look, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy." The few times he's asked, I hadn't ever been able to go. I says, "Look, I'll come in a new year." And he says, "Oh, it's fine." But he was desperate. So on the Saturday night, I went along, me and MJ went through. And there was a lad from St. Haven speaking called John Alexander. And I'd never heard Kenny said, there's a guy, John Alexander, going to share the word. He's going to be." And I see, if you need an again and you have low expectations, I was absolutely blown away. I would have thought this guy had gone to Bible college for years. The revelation he had was just amazing. I want to start with something he shared there. And we'll begin in John 1:35-46. Give you a wee second to get there, but I'll just go ahead and start reading it out. So it says, "The following day, John was standing with two of his disciples." This is Jesus' first disciples. "As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, 'Look, there is the Lamb of God.' When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. 'What do you want?' he asked. They replied, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come and see,' he said. It was about 4:00 in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of them who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, 'Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas,' which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Come, follow me.' Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth.' 'Nazareth!' exclaimed Nathanael. 'Can anything good come from Nazareth?' 'Come and see for yourself,' Philip replied." And a number of times in the scriptures, you'll see it's written, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus the Nazarene, and that was his identity. He was labeled. Folk knew him as Jesus the Nazarene. And what was Nazareth known for? It says there, I'm not sure, it's just copy and paste this, I'm not sure what verse it was in, but it says, can any good thing come from Nazareth? And Nazareth was in Galilee, and Galilee itself was seen as a remote area. It was away from the center of Judaism at the time in Jerusalem. It was like the back of beyond, kind of like a broch, if you like. Nothing happens in Aberdeen or Edinburgh or somewhere else, but we're seen as insignificant. Can anything good come from Fraserburgh? It's in the back of beyond. It was a town of 500, so it was even less significant than us. It was like, I say Belgar, but Belgar's mayor. It's maybe like St. Combs. But Fitty said at the time, he exclaimed, can anything good come from Nazareth? And that was Nathaniel just blurting out, being really honest at the time. But realistically, nothing but Jesus was coming for Nazareth. And it says, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Joseph. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus didn't come from Joseph or from Mary. He came via Joseph and via Mary. What are you seen as this morning? How do folk label you? Are you the gossiper? And I won't say names like Zoe the gossiper. I wouldn't start that. But do folks see you as the gossiper? The drug addict? The addict to whatever else? Whatever they label you, unless it's good, it's not far you really are. And even if it's good sometimes, maybe, oh, Sam, he's got heaps of money, he's the rich guy. But unless you have Jesus, it's not the real you that we were created to be. So I've said already, Jesus came via Nazareth, not from Nazareth. He was Joseph's son, and he did not come from Mary or Joseph. He came via Mary and via Joseph. Jesus was the Son of God, born into the world. It's in Luke 1:35. I just want to share a wee bit. It says, in the utmost for his highest. I found this online yesterday. So it's in my pictures. So I'm just make sure I've got it. It says, his birth in history. That Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ was born into this world, not from it. He did not emerge out of history. He came into history from the outside. Jesus Christ is not the best human being the human race can boast of. He is a being for whom the human race can take no credit at all. He is not human becoming God, but God incarnate, God coming into human flesh from outside it. His life is the highest and holiest, entering through the most humble of doors. Our Lord's birth was an advent, the appearance of God in human form. I apologize for looking at my notes so much this morning, but it was late last night, and I hadn't had a chance to go through this really in the writing sma. So that's why I'm kind of looks like I'm reading a lot, but I really feel there is something in this. In Luke 1:35 says, the angel speaking to Mary, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. So when the baby came in, we celebrate the baby at Christmas time and that Jesus was born. But he came into the world and he took the form of a human. It wasn't just a baby that was born. He was born to fulfill a destiny and a purpose. And Jesus, as I said, Jesus was a child with a purpose. And what if it was a purpose? There's so many times, I just had a quick look. It fit his purpose was 15 reasons why Jesus came. They're off of scripture, and basically every single one is the same thing. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to call sinners to repentance. He came into the world to seek and save the lost. Every single lean is along the same lines. He came into the world for me and for you. A purpose. This Christmas time, as we're thinking about the story, really remember that from we're celebrating, that wasn't just about the birth, but fit that baby was, if it was the significance, if it was the purpose and that, of what he came for. He was a savior, and the baby's journey, it built to a crescendo to when he was on the cross. Well, not even to when he was on the cross, but he said it was finished in the cross. And then we need to mark the commitment. But he rose again. I said it finished in the cross, but it was finished in a sense, but he didn't remain. He got up and he rose again. As I said earlier, what are we known for? Are we the gambler, the addict, the sloth, the lazy person, the belgar, the syncoma, the quietie? Whatever you are known as, remember, we are also born with a purpose. And if you're seen in a negative light, just remember, that's not your true identity. Your true identity is found in Christ. And forever you may be just new, it's part of your story. And to see your true identity in Christ, we're got to come via the place you are at just new. But it's our part of your journey. Our true identity, we are children of God and we are born with a purpose. And wherever we're coming through just new, like I just said, we're going to come through it, and we're going to come through it with Jesus. And God uses the unlikely, the unexpected. You may think, he can't use me, but he can. If you are willing, he will use you. I've got two examples here. In Judges 6:15, Gideon says, "Pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." But he used them. God has a why always using the unlikely. And if that means, I think it's so, if he used the most likely, the strongest, then folk may say, well, that was just them, they did it. But if he uses the least likely, I'm not saying you are the least, but he can use me and you. I think it's just so he can say he couldn't have done it himself. And David was chosen as king. He was the youngest and the last in line from an earthly point of view. All the sons were told, he was told to come and line up all his sons. And the king would be chosen from one of his sons. Tell him, how far was David when that line was going? He was serving. He was in the field. He was left insignificant. Every brother was going through, but the king was not there. Let me tell you this morning, the Lord doesn't look at how big you are, how strong you are. He looks at your heart. And if you're willing this morning, he will use you. Sorry, Beth. I think I'm doing pretty well for the 8 years, actually. Don't worry about your situation, whatever you're going through. Whether you're happy, sad, whatever, don't worry about it. It says in Matthew 6:33-34, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." just focusing on God this morning. The baby born with a purpose. And just this week, I was just reminded this week, I was doing Edinburgh, but when we get a realization of who we really are, if it's been done for us, we start to see things differently. And some of you can, some of you didn't can, but I studied in Edinburgh, so I stayed in Edinburgh for 5 years, and I've been to St. Giles Church, the cathedral, a number of times. In fact, I saw it was a beautiful building, that beautiful architecture. If you go inside, it's amazing. Me and Alec and Matthew, we traveled through Rune Europe. If you've traveled Europe, basically you go and see a cathedral in every place you go, and if ever else. But every single place you go, the architecture and the buildings, that's fit the you see. But if I didn't think, as fit was the history of each of that buildings. Fit happened in that buildings. Not once did it occur. I was looking at everything. And I'm not sure if, has anybody been reading this book? Kevin gave us this book for one before I wanted it. And if you hinna read it, there are other books to read as well. But if you hinna read this, Kevin, I'm not sure, is the offer still on? Kevin, if you listen later, I'm not sure if the offer is still on, but it may be back on after this morning. So Kevin offered this book. If you want to read it, he will give it for free. And it is an amazing book. It's a kind of land of many revivals, Scotland's extraordinary legacy of Christian revivals over 4 centuries. In our nation, it has a history with Jesus. We've been saturated by his presence before, and it's coming again. John Knox was one of the key folk in the Reformation of Scotland, and he preached with great conviction in the 1500s, around 1555, in the St. Giles Cathedral that I was in this week. And as I said, I've been in the place a number of times and looking at it, but I hadn't really thought if it went on there. Let me just read a wee passage. I'm going to come back to this book in a second as well, but quickly. So Knox had preached there for a number of years, and this was his 2 weeks before he died. Knox preached for the last time in St. Giles in November 1572. He had to be helped to the pulpit, but once there, the old fire which had set Scotland aglow broke out once more. The cathedral ran with his trumpet notes. So vehemently did he preach that he was like to rend the pulpit in pieces. When the sermon was over, however, it was seen that his strength was spent and the end near. He died 2 weeks later. As I said, I went in there this week and I looked at it differently. Not only at the building, but at the deep roots. For God did in that place. For the place stood for in its history. And there was a second Reformation a number of years later. The English king came in and he wanted to take us away to fit our nation was standing for. And there was a covenant written in 1638, and that basically was our two guys rallied the hail of the nation, and it was basically our nation saying, we are standing for Jesus. And as I said, I've just gone in and I've looked at the building. But over in the corner of that building, if you go looking and searching for fit happened, over in the corner, a wow out of sight. It's pretty big, actually. maybe the width of the banner up to the below the spirit. Big light shining on it, but unless you go and search for it, you kind of see it. The handwritten covenant of our nation declaring themselves to Jesus stands in that corner. Handwritten in 1638, you can hardly see the words. Some are big, some are small. It's really ne very bonny at all. The fit it stood for is unbelievable. And it was dedicated, it's been standing there since I think 1930-something. It was donated to the St. Giles. But if we are to thrive again as a nation, we must build our house upon the rock. The baby was born into this world with a purpose, to die on the cross to save the world. And what did that mean for us? What is our purpose? Something fresh is happening, and something is upon us. If we want to see our street, our town, our nation saved, we must be a people of prayer. We must ask Him. It says, ask and you will receive. We must pray in faith. We must believe for what we're praying. We must pray in thanksgiving, and we must always pray. We can't just pray if we feel like it or we want something, but we must continue to thank Him always. As well as being a people of prayer, we must be a people of faith, boldness, and action. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, this is the Great Commission. So Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Are we at the end of the age yet? No. He is with us always. We are that new disciples. If you've made a commitment to Jesus, you are a disciple. He's told you to go and make mayor. Let's pray for our town, pray for our neighbor, and go and make disciples. Jesus is rebirthing a people of intercession within our church and our town. It's time to get hungry and to cry out for the lost. I'm just going to go back to something John Knox said. I've only read chapter one, but chapter one's about 100 pages. So it's long chapters, but they're divided up. But on page 38, Knox wrote that as he preached, he beheld the fervent thirst of our brethren night and day, sobbing and groaning for the bread of life. If I had not seen it with my own eyes in my country, I could not have believed it. The fervency here doth far exceed all others that I have seen. And that's what we need. We need a groaning for the bread of life, which is Jesus. We've been seeing things happen in our prayer meetings in this church. But in 2016, we're also starting United prayer meetings with different churches across the town. And unity is a whole other topic, but there is power in unity. If we declare as church bodies with each other, standing in unity for Jesus, things are going to happen in this town. And this morning, I just want to finish with a time of prayer for a few different things. And one or all may apply, but I believe one will apply to Maist folk, if nae Abdi. And Nathan will be playing some music and we'll come out. And if one of you would like prayer for any of these areas, then fine. If no, that's fine also. firsting, obviously, is, do you know Jesus, the baby that was born with a purpose? Have you been labeled? Sorry, do you want to know him? The seconding, are you stuck in the chains of misidentity? Have you been labeled as someone or something that is not you? And I want to tell you this morning, you were made in God's image. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image. This is the first chapter in the Bible. After our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That is you this morning. We're children of God, created in his image. The third thing, are you unsure of your purpose? What you're meant to be doing? What the plans are in your life? It says, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to give you a purpose. And the fourth thing is why I think most folk will be applied. If you are just hungry for more of the Lord, and this morning you want to declare yourself as part of God's children, God's army, and in the fight for this town and this nation, I'd also like you to come up and we're going to say a prayer commission over OMD if I want it. Church, we're a people of power, a people of purpose. And how we live our lives can determine the destiny of our neighbor or the people we come in contact with on a daily basis. We have a big responsibility, but this is our time. This year, as you remember the baby Jesus, remember, he was born with a purpose, and so were you. So if anybody would like any prayer for any of that four areas, I said, either to get to know Jesus, are you stuck in the chains of misidentity, are you unsure of your purpose? If you're hungry for more of the Lord, then please just come to the front and we'll pray. If every single person's out here, I'll pray for Paul and Paul will pray for me. But thank you. I really believe that word was for us as a church this morning. And there's a reason for everything. There's a reason that Kevin was near wheel. Maybe it's so you can get a rest. I'm still. Didn't give me a rest this morning, did he? But I believe that was for us as a church. So if you would like to money prayer for any of that areas, just as the song starts, please feel free to come up.